They took time to honor a matriarch and a patriarch. Hallelujah. They took a moment to honor Dad there and Miss Ollie, Justin's mom who had passed away. And, you know, I don't ever want to come to church where we don't have little babies and we don't have our senior members also. I mean, you know, it takes a blend of everybody. We want the wisdom of the old and we want the energy of the young. Now, I'm not sure why the young got the energy. I think something there, you know, I think energy is wasted on the young. We should have saved it till we get older. But how many know it takes all of us together as a part of the body of Christ, and every one of every member in particular is important to the body of Christ. If you think you're not important today, I want you to know you are important in the body of Christ. You are important of what God is doing in this day, in this hour. And we have so much to celebrate. There is so much excitement in the air. There is so many good things that God is doing in and among us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it is just a privilege and an honor to be in the house of the Lord today to celebrate a risen Savior. Hallelujah. And I hope as you partake of the bread and the wine that you understand that it is His body. It's just not something outside of us. But how many know we are what we are by the grace of God today, by the blood of Jesus, who's still in the saving business. He's still in the miracle working business. Hallelujah. I never want to get away from the power of the experience of accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Amen. Can you remember the day? Can you remember the moment when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and you felt the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost and the power of God come into your heart and life and not just touch you, but change you, to cause something inside of you to come alive, to cause something inside of you to leap for joy and understand I have not just been touched, but I've been changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. It is a life-changing experience. If you've never experienced today, I challenge you to find that experience in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The shirts that the kids, the youth, that the team that they that just dance, the shirts that they have on says 7 words that change the world. And they were done in honor of Pastor Jack Hiles, who passed away in February. And they were done in honor of him. They say 7 words that change the world. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. Hallelujah. If you save me, I'll serve you. I want to tell you, there is power in the blood of Jesus. For a life and a family that was distraught, that was struggling, that was dealing with alcoholism and all of the things that were going on in my family at that time. Years and years and years ago, one man, one woman stood up and made a declaration and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. And serve you, he did. I can tell you this morning, God will deliver alcoholism. I can tell you God will deliver drug addiction. I can tell you God will heal your stomach. I can tell you God will give you your life back. I can tell you God will save your kids. I can tell you God can turn your life around. I can tell you he'll save your grandkids. I can tell you he'll do amazing, incredible, wonderful things in your life if you'll just make that stand and that declaration and say, God, I want you. I need you in my life and I receive you. Hallelujah. My dad said when he made the statement, there was no lightning crashed or no thunder rolled. But the power of God was so strong in his room that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had answered his prayers and had indeed saved him. Hallelujah. I say he may not have seen lightning. He might not have heard thunder. There might not have been an earthquake. But I'm telling you, something was shaking in the heavens because something eternal was beginning to happen in the heavens for a generation of people that all of us have come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior because of a shaking of something that happened in the heavens. Hallelujah. A long time ago when God answered that prayer and salvation came to our house. Hallelujah. How many know that's what it's all about today? That's what we came here for today, is celebration, is to celebrate salvation that's in the house. When they took the bread of communion and the Passover bread, how many know they were celebrating a time when they were in bondage to Egypt? But God sent a man named Moses and led them out of Egypt. And there was a Passover. And he said, I want you to take the lamb in the house. And I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Death is not going to come to your house. Destruction is not going to come to your house. Not just because there's been a death of a lamb. Hallelujah. But the lamb is in the house. And he said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Hallelujah. I mean, no, I've come to tell you this morning that there's been some blood applied to the doorpost of your house, that when the death angel comes by and when he sees the blood, he's got to pass over you because there's already been the death of a lamb in the house. Hallelujah. I mean, no, I mean, you're glad this morning that you didn't have to die. It's not about your death. It's about his death. It's about what he's already accomplished. Hallelujah. It's about what he's already done for us in the work and person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to read a couple scriptures and then go to my text in John chapter 20 this morning. But go ahead and bring up John 3:14 through 17 for me, Carlin. Just a couple scriptures. There's so many things that you could teach and preach on the resurrection story. Hallelujah. So many people involved in it. John 3:14, these are very familiar scriptures. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved who? The world. Not just the good folk, not just the bad folk, not just the Jewish people, not just the seed of Abraham. He loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. His only begotten Son, that whosoever, hello, whosoever today, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do we get everlasting life? How do we come to know Jesus Christ and as our personal Savior? Simply by believing. Hallelujah. Do we have any believers in the house today? Hallelujah. We have some believers. I believe that he loved me. I believe that he came to give his life for me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17. Hallelujah. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. How many know he didn't come to bring condemnation? Hallelujah. On the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Everybody has that opportunity. Everybody has that invitation today, that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 12, 31 and 32 through 32, I believe it is. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. How? Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. He said this signifying what death that he would die. The scripture says, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw who? Who? All men unto me. How many know all men were drawn unto him, into him at Calvary? We said the scripture earlier, for I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And it's not I, but it's the Christ who lives within me. Hallelujah. How many are glad that you were crucified with him? He didn't just die for you on Calvary. He died as you. That he took every sin, every affliction, every problem that you ever had, and he took it. When he drank the cup, he said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I submit to you that everything that he drank in the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane was every sin, every affliction, every disease, every torment, every oppression, every depression, everything that you and I have ever experienced. God, who became very man, Hallelujah. God who became, he was never more incarnate, he was never more flesh and blood than at that moment, said, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And how many know he drew all men unto himself, that all men might be made free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, we think about this scripture, and I think people so many times think, oh, when I get my act together, I'm going to go to church, and, you know, when I got to get some things straightened out, and I got to clean myself up, and then I'm going to go to church. Well, if you have the ability to clean yourself up, you won't need Jesus. But can I just tell you this morning, you don't have the ability to get your act together. And if you do get it together, it's still just an act. Hallelujah. How many times have you ever said, boy, when I get this straightened out in my life, I'm going to go to church. Well, I submit to you, how about just going to church and let Jesus deal with everything that there is in your life? Let him take care of the man who gave his life for you is able to raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. The scripture says that since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what? Dwells in you. It will quicken. It will make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. We only have the ability to walk after the things of the Lord because that quickening spirit lives and resides in me. That what spirit? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's good news this morning. I got some good news for you. He's resurrected. He is a risen Savior. And that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, and it will quicken even your mortal fleshly body, your mortal desires, your mortal thoughts, everything about you. That same spirit is able to quicken and make alive, hallelujah, and cause life to spring out of death. Hallelujah. That's what he came to do, to give us that same quickening spirit, that spirit that is alive, that power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. Hallelujah. That causes you to come alive. The presence of God, that when you sing the songs and the worship, the presence of God, that you begin to feel that stirring in you. How many know that's that quickening spirit? That's a quickening spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it dwells in you. Hallelujah. You know, I thought about this week as I was thinking about and pondering all the resurrection story and all of those kind of things. I love the story of Barabbas and the picture of Barabbas. And just to quickly tell you the story, I mean, Barabbas was a prisoner. He was in jail. He was slated to die. And Pilate, thinking he would get out of having to crucify Jesus, he said, I find no fault in him. I don't see the fault in this man. Let me just scourge him. Let me just let him go. And they said, no, we don't want to let him go. He said, so he thought, I got a way out of this. He said, I'll release to them a prisoner, because every year at Passover, they would release a prisoner and set him free. And he said, who would you that I would release to you, Jesus or Barabbas? Thinking, surely they're going to set Jesus free, because this man's not guilty of death. Barabbas is a thief. He's leading a rebellion. He's a murderer. And he stands guilty in his sins. Hallelujah. But how many know the crowd cry out and say, release to us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Hallelujah. And I submit to you this morning that that is what forgiveness feels like. Think about it for a moment, to stand in the place of Barabbas, knowing you're guilty as charged, knowing you're a murderer, a thief, a rebel, standing knowing that that cross is meant for you, that that death sentence is meant for you, and yet Jesus takes your place. Jesus dies in your place. Hallelujah. And Barabbas gets to go free. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning that all of us stood in the place of Barabbas? There was a time and a moment when we were guilty of our sins. We owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. We stood guilty in that place of our sins, and yet he took my place. Hallelujah. He paid for the sins of Barabbas. He paid for the sins of all humanity. He paid for the sins of all creation. You know, there's so many things in the scriptures that I wish I knew the rest of the story. Amen? Like, where does Barabbas go from here? Where do you go after you stood in such a place of forgiveness? After you stood in the place where Jesus literally took your place and died not only for you, but died as you. Where do you go from there? Hallelujah. I'd have had to go to the foot of the cross. I'd have had to stick around just to see what happened. Hallelujah. I think about the soldier Malchus when he comes to arrest Jesus. And Jesus is praying in the garden. And all of a sudden, Peter gets some courage about him. He jumps up and he draws a sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the soldier who's come to arrest Jesus. And Jesus simply looks at Peter and he said, "Peter, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword are going to die by the sword." He said, "Don't you know, Peter, that at this moment, right here, right now, in the host, in the legions, in the realms of heaven, there are legions of angels standing at attention, standing with swords drawn. Every hand is on swords, swords drawn. Sheaths begin to cry out because there's a host of heaven that says, if he says the word, we'll go. But he says, I could call legions of angels right now, right here, right now to my disposal at my feet. I could call legions of angels, but it's not to be so, Peter, because I'm the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Don't you know I have the power right now to say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the cross. But for you, Peter, I'm going to the cross." He's very God and very man. One of the greatest struggles maybe he had was to not call for legions of angels and said, "Send them forth." And I believe as Gabriel and Michael stand there with swords drawn, says, all he's got to do is nod his hand and head and we'll go to his rescue. But he said, "Put away the swords." Hallelujah. I could call 10,000 angels, but I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to the cross for you, Peter. Hallelujah. And he reaches down on the ground and he picks up the ear of that servant Malchus. And he picks it up into his hand and he blows the dust off of the ear of that servant. And he walks over to him and he places it back on the side of his head. He may have heard some accusations. He may have heard some things about this man before he came to that place. But I submit to you, after the hand of the Almighty picks up that ear out of the dust and puts it back on the head of that soldier, something's got to change. How many know you're going to hear some things a little bit differently from there on? They said he was a murderer. They said he was a blasphemer. They said he wanted to make himself like that God. They said he was a criminal. They said he was worthy of death, but he touched my ear and I will never be the same again. You can't go back home that night after having been in the presence of God and having him pick your ear up off the ground and put it back on your head and go home and Mrs. Malchus says to him, "Honey, how was your day today?" How many know his life had changed as he knew it? His career had changed as he knew it. His experience had changed as he knew it, because all of a sudden the man he thought was a criminal he came to arrest, all of a sudden he's picking up an ear and putting it back on your head. And when he gets home at night and Mrs. Malchus says, "Honey, how was your day?" He says, "Honey, you're not going to believe this. Hallelujah. I came in contact with a man who put my ear back on my head." Hallelujah. I'm guessing it was time for Malchus to change jobs. Hallelujah. I'm guessing he's not in the mob when they get ready to drag him into the court of Pilate or in the court of Herod. Let me tell you what, you cannot be touched by the hand of the master and go back home the same way that you came. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he was touched in such a divine way that day that you can't go back home and do life as usual, life as you knew it, what you've been touched by the hand of the master. The man that had probably had the right to cut your ear off wasn't cutting off ears. He was picking them up and putting them back on. Hallelujah. How many know that is our ministry today? So many times we've been guilty of using the sword to cut people's ears off so they couldn't hear what thus saith the Lord, when really what we needed to do was reach down into the dirt of their humanity, pick them up and put them on their head and cause them to hear some things, some good news, hear something different. This man isn't a criminal. This man is the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. He is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He is my beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so as we look at all the different ones in the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection, hallelujah, I think about Pilate's wife. When she sends the word to Pilate and says, Pilate, whatever you do, don't have anything to do with what they're trying to do to Jesus, because I've had a dream in the night and this man is not worthy of death. Hallelujah. Pilate brings a basin before him, washes his hands and said, I wash my hands of this innocent blood. Hallelujah. I wash my hands of this innocent blood. And they beat him and they crucify him. They hang him on the cross. He hangs between two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. Scripture says two malefactors, two thieves, two robbers. And there he hangs, and one of them says to him, if you be God, get us down from here. Hallelujah. Anybody ever cry? Don't raise your hand to this one. Anybody ever cry out to God in anger? Oh, it sounds like you're crying out, but he said, if you be God, get us down from here. Save us from this. If you be God. The other thief, hang on the other side, says, do you not fear God, seeing we're here by our just dues? But this man has done nothing wrong. And he cries out and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus simply looks at him and says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Paradise there. The other word for paradise is the word Eden. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. How many know every time that we cry out, that thief hanging beside him on the cross, guilty as charged, cried out and said, Lord, remember me. That word to remember something means to put me back together. How many know what God was doing on the cross of Calvary that day was putting back together a generation of people from Adam all the way through, putting them back together from the fall of the garden in the beginning. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Hallelujah. How many know he put us back together on Calvary and caused us to come to a place where we could be with him? Where? In paradise. Where is paradise? Back to the place before the fall of Adam, a place before the curse, beyond the curse. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus put the curse in reverse? Hallelujah. He put the curse in reverse. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give me 2 Corinthians 5:21, Carlin, and I'm going to go to John 20. If you want to turn to John 20 in your Bibles, that's where I'm going to pick up the text there this morning. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I could become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Now I could ask for a show of hands today and say, how many of you in here are righteous this morning? And you would ponder whether you wanted to raise your hand or not. Amen? Because you still think that your righteousness is according to your works. Well, I got new good news for you this morning. For he hath made him to be sin for us. How many know he took my place? He made him to be sin that I could take his place, that I could come to the place where he is, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a pretty fair trade. Amen? That's good news this morning. He became sin that I don't have to be made sin, that I could become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. It's not by my righteousness. It's not by my works. It's not by anything that I could do. How many know that was the curse in the garden? That you're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your face, and you're going to produce and bring forth in labor and sweat and travail. How many know he came to put that curse in reverse for us? He that who knew no sin became sin that I could become the righteousness of God in him. That's good news this morning. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 20, in verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Mary Magdalene is mentioned in all four of the Gospels at the tomb. Not all of the four Gospels have the exact same story of the tomb, but Mary Magdalene is at every one of them. Mary Magdalene is the one who Jesus delivered from seven demons, seven devils. And she was a disciple of his and followed him and walked after him. Some historians say she was a prostitute or a harlot. The scripture doesn't say that, doesn't call her that, but Magdala, because she was a Magdalene, and she came from Magdala, and it was a city that was corrupt with a lot of harlotry and prostitution, a lot of those kind of things. So how many know she's been labeled in a whole lot of things that necessarily aren't her? Okay. She's been labeled with a whole lot of things that necessarily aren't her. You know what we've done over the years is we've labeled people with a whole lot of names and a whole lot of labels that don't necessarily belong to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Nevertheless, guess who's at the tomb? Mary Magdalene. Hallelujah. One of the reasons she's there and the women came to the tomb was because to touch a dead body was to defile yourself, and only the women were allowed to touch a dead body. The men did not want to defile themselves. So she comes to the tomb, and she's there to anoint his body with herbs and spices and to mourn a dead Savior. Amen? And she says she comes unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and come unto Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came to the first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. So Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, and she sees that the stone's been rolled away, and she goes back and tells the disciples, I don't know what they've done with my Lord. They've taken him away, and I don't know where they have taken him. And Peter and John come to see the tomb to see what Mary's talking about. Hallelujah. How many know John was the one that stayed at the foot of the cross the whole time? He's the one that Jesus entrusts his mother to. He's the one that sees the very revelation of Jesus Christ from the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. And Peter is the one who Jesus said, Peter says, Lord, I'm going to die with you. I'm going to go all the way. I'm with you. I'm one of yours. I'll go all the way with you. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. How many know he knows the thoughts of our hearts better than we do? And with everything within Peter, I believe that he desired to do just what he said. But how many know before the cock crows, Peter denies him three times. And the scripture says, and at the sound of the cock crow, Jesus turns and looks at Peter in the eye. And Peter goes away sorrowful. How many know that's a rough way to leave the guy that you've hung out with all this, the disciple, the one you just promised, I'll die for you. Hallelujah. How many know when you have made a declaration, you say, Lord, I'm going to do this. And maybe nobody else is in here. Lord, I'm going to stand for it. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, in a moment of weakness, something comes up and you feel like you failed him or feel like you walked away from him. How many know there's sorrow in that? How many know it's a long 3 days? And all of a sudden, Mary comes to Peter and says, Peter, you got to come look. He's not in there. His body is not in the tomb. And said, Peter gets to the tomb and he sees the grave clothes. They're still laying there. He sees the napkin that's been taken and folded and laying over by itself. It's all laying over by itself. Well, guess what? If I was going to take the time to steal something, I'm not going to take the time to clean up your house before I leave. I'm not going to fold your laundry when I'm done. How many know if someone's going to come into your house like a thief and take something, they're going to do it in a hurry, and they're not going to worry what things look like there. And chances are they're not going to unwrap this dead, beaten, bruised body to take it. They're just going to grab the body and take it as it is. How many know nobody had to touch his body? He ascended to the Father. Resurrection life was in him. How many know there was no need for grave clothes? He had no need for grave clothes. And what looked like it was dead yesterday, all of a sudden there's new life. Hallelujah. I want to say to some of you this morning, what looked like it was dead yesterday, all of a sudden has resurrection life. If you've been looking at some things and saying, Lord, those things look dead to me. They look beyond help. They look beyond belief. They look beyond anything that I could see, anything good out of it. I want to tell you, there's resurrection life in you today. And what looked like it might have been dead, all of a sudden we see life coming back into situations. You say, well, Pastor Lee, Lisa, my marriage, it looks like it's dead. Well, I declare that there's resurrection life. You say, Pastor Lisa, it looks like my kids are beyond help. It looks like there's things that are happening that it's beyond. I prophesy to you this morning, there is resurrection life in you. You may say, my finances look like they're dead and buried. I prophesy resurrection life in you today, because what looks like it's dead just needs to come up out of a tomb and understand that we have that same spirit, that resurrection life living and dwelling and moving in us. Hallelujah. And there is life among what looks like it was dead yesterday. Hallelujah. How many know Peter, above all people, want to know that he is indeed alive and resurrected out of that tomb? Because how many know Peter's got some unfinished business? I got some things I need to talk to you about, Lord. I need to tell you I'm sorry. I need to tell you I didn't mean to deny you. I need to tell you I didn't mean to walk away from you. I need to tell you that everything in my heart was going to stand for you. But in a moment of weakness, anybody in here ever had a moment of weakness? Hallelujah. But what I love about the story is Jesus was faithful to come back to everyone who thought they had fallen. How many know Jesus is getting ready to appear to one person at the tomb? Let me see. Who will I pick to appear to at the tomb? Oh, maybe John. Maybe the one who stayed with me at the cross. Oh, I don't know. Maybe my church folk. Maybe I'll appear to them first. I don't know. Who would I appear to? Maybe somebody who wasn't even worthy of seeing me. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody had been so attached and so in the presence of God that there was no other place for her to be except at the tomb. Because just maybe when he said, on the third day I'm going to rise again, maybe he meant just what he said. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning, whatever he has promised you, he is faithful to fulfill his promise in your life. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And so it says, verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She said she stooped down and looked into the tomb and she saw one angel sitting at the head and one angel sitting at the foot. Hallelujah. How many know she saw a very picture of a mercy seat? Stand up, Terry, real quick. She saw a picture of a mercy seat. How many know where Jesus was laid was the very picture of a mercy seat? Two cherubim, face to face, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." But in that place right between them was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat that when he cried out, "It is finished," on the cross, and the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. The scripture says mercy came running out of that place because no more was that place only reserved for the high priest. But now the scripture says you and I can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. Not only did mercy come screaming out of that place for every mankind, but everyone has access through the door of Jesus Christ into a place to receive mercy and grace that was paid for on the cross. They didn't just look in there and saw two angels. They saw a very picture that Moses had given them in the wilderness long time before the crucifixion, that we indeed have received mercy and grace from a blood-sprinkled mercy seat of a lamb. Hallelujah. And says she looked and said to him, her cry was, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know how to find him. I don't know what they have done with my Jesus. I don't know where they have taken my Lord." Hallelujah. Sometimes we have misrepresented him. Sometimes we have hidden him from those who cannot see him. We thought only the righteous could approach him. We thought only those who were the most holy dudes could approach him. We thought unless we were spotless and without wrinkle that we could not approach him. Let me tell you this morning, the only way you're going to get spotless and without wrinkle is to approach him. The only way you're going to be cleansed of your sins is going to be to approach him. Hallelujah. How many know there is access for everybody? And says when she turned around in her despair, she looked and she said, the scripture says she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. Hallelujah. I believe a lot of times we have preached a Jesus that people don't recognize. We've preached an angry God with a big stick, long white beard, sitting on the throne, ready to crack you on the head when you stepped out of line. Or it was going to fall, call fire down from heaven, or, you know, last day barbecue. And we've done a lot of those kind of things that I think we have misrepresented God. Amen? The scripture declares and tells us that God is love. Hallelujah. And I'm coming to know and understand and recognize a risen Savior who paid for my sins that I could not pay for. We're still 2,000 years later trying to pay our own debts and pay for our own sins when Jesus paid it all. I could not pay it. I could not stand in that place. But he did that for me, as me, so that I could have resurrection life. Hallelujah. And she said in verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Hallelujah. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Hallelujah. Jesus turns around to Mary in her state of weeping, in her state of crying, in her state of loss, and says to her, "Woman, who are you seeking?" She said, "I'm just seeking Jesus. I come here to find Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus today." And Jesus simply looks at her and says her name, Mary. Hallelujah. Do you remember the day when he said your name? When you heard the call? When you realized that Jesus stood before you and he was looking for you? The scripture says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You have been handpicked. He pursued you. He was looking for you. I remember it as a little girl about 3 years old, down in front of the sofa in the living room, where I knelt down and said, "Jesus, come into my heart." And at the age of 3, I felt the presence of God. I can show you the place where it happens. Been rearranged a little bit over there now. A few walls been taken out, and it's still the same thing. But how many know I remember where it happened? And it stuck. It took. The presence of God came into the room at 3 years old, and I felt his presence. I heard him call my name, and he saved me. Hallelujah. And my life has never been the same. Oh, have I doubted him like Thomas? Yeah, I have. Have I betrayed him like Judas? Yeah, probably have. Have I denied him like Peter? Yeah, probably have. But you know what? He was faithful to me, even when I was not faithful to him. We serve a great big God today. Hallelujah. She said, "I'm looking for Jesus." Some of you today may have come here looking for Jesus. Can I tell you, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a very present help in the time of need, that all you have to do is cry out to him, and he will make his appearance in your life. Hallelujah. He said, "Mary, I am resurrected. Go back and tell my disciples." One of the gospels says, "And tell Peter that I am alive." Hallelujah. Go back and tell my disciples that I am alive. All is well. Everything that looked like it was dead yesterday, it's got resurrection life in it today. Everything that looked like it was hopeless before, all of a sudden the hope's been put back into it. Everything that looked like it was lost, all of a sudden it's been found. All of a sudden, new life is springing out of situations that I thought were dead and beaten and buried. Hallelujah. But resurrection life is coming forth. Hallelujah. If you're desiring resurrection life in an area of your life today, it is simply as simple as crying out and said, "Jesus, I need you." Hallelujah. There is resurrection life in me. There is power in the blood. There is life that is available to us, an abundant life through Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he was the perfect lamb of sacrifice. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Amen. And when they ate of the tree, he told them, he said, "Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And how many know the curse came into play? But he said he put them out of the garden, but he put a cherubim and a flaming sword at the entrance of the garden. And we always preach it, man, to keep them out of the garden. They got thrown out of the garden, so he put a cherubim and a flaming sword there to keep them out of the garden. That's not what the scripture says. He said he put a cherubim and a flaming sword at the garden to keep the way to the tree of life. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that tree of life has a name and a place, and that's called the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. That's where we received the tree of life, and we partook of the tree of life. No longer have to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but we can partake of the tree of life. And over clear into the book, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations, and the book of Revelation says, "And I saw, as it were, a river." Hallelujah. Proceeding out of the throne of God, and on either side of it was a tree of life. Hallelujah. There was a tree of life called Calvary today that we can partake of. Because of the cross, we have life. We have resurrection life inside of us. And I declare to you, what looked like it was dead yesterday, God is breathing soon some new life into areas and situations of our life. Hallelujah. If you can feel the breath and the power of the Holy Spirit, His breath is nothing more than the power of the Holy Spirit that can blow over this place today. And what seemed like it was dead yesterday, I prophesy and declare that new life is coming in areas of your life that you thought was dead, that we're going to see life manifested in those places. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody in here need to see life manifested in some places? Hallelujah. Anybody want to see some things come up out of a grave? Anybody want to see some things being done that you've been praying for and seeking for? As Mary came to the tomb, what she thought she was seeking for that was dead all of a sudden had resurrection life in it. Hallelujah. And so I'm declaring there is resurrection life in this place this morning. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. I'm going to have Beth come and play a song. Hallelujah. And I just want you to think for a moment. I want you to ponder. And if you have something in your life this morning, you're saying, Pastor Lisa, I need God to move in areas of my life. Hallelujah. Some areas that I thought were hopeless. Some areas that I thought was forsaken. Some areas that I thought that God had missed it. The areas that I thought could not be touched. I want that resurrection life to flow in my house, in my family, in my heart, in my relationships, in my children, in my finances, in my body today. Hallelujah. And I just want you to begin to lift your hands in praise this morning as we sing this song. And I want you to say, Lord, I want you to bring resurrection life into those areas. Hallelujah. Lord, I want you to bring resurrection life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you'd like me to pray for you to receive Jesus, I want you to come on down. Hallelujah. We'd be glad to pray with you. If there's some areas of your life you're saying, God, I want to see your resurrection power manifested in these areas of my life. Hallelujah. You can lift your hands where you are, or you can come down to the front and I'll be glad to pray for you. Hallelujah. Let's give him some praise today. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Lord, we speak and declare resurrection life today. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.
The creation I sing, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Some of you guys reach over and lay hands on Eileen this morning. And we're going to just declare resurrection life in Rocky's body today. Father, I send the power of the Holy Spirit to Rocky. Lord, I declare healing and life and power right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in him. And Lord, I cause it right now to quicken his mortal body right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak life. We speak healing. We speak power. We speak direction right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We declare life and power in Jesus' name. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name.
Holy, holy, is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kuranda moko sika telala mohandai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we breathe resurrection life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak and declare life, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mind, soul, body, and spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, we declare resurrection life in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak to those things which seem as if they were dead yesterday. Lord, we breathe resurrection life in Jesus' name. Healing in mind, soul, body, and spirit in Jesus' name. We declare and speak life, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Praise to the King of Kings.
Glory to your name, Jesus.
You are my everything,
and I will adore you.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty,
who was and is to come. Anybody else? Sister Becky, I want to speak life into your situation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak and declare resurrection life. Father, those things that look like they were dead yesterday, Lord, I declare life and power by the Holy Spirit. Father, you said your promises are to our household and to our children. And God, I declare your word. And Lord, I stand with her as a strength and lift up her hands this morning. Father, I speak life and power in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold, Father, we apply the blood of the Lamb to the house. Father, the Lamb is in the house. Father, we speak and declare life and power, hallelujah, and a new and fresh anointing, a fresh start, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, those things that look like they're beyond hope, right now in Jesus' name, we speak hope. We speak life and power and resurrection in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Heaven's mercy
seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah. Oh, creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are to your name, Jesus. You can be seated while the children are coming in. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. All the children are going to come and sing. They have a little something for you this morning. And then, as always, they're going to come around and gather up their pennies. And the pennies and the money that they gather coming around with their little hands all goes to missions and support missions. Amen. So they're going to share some resurrection stories with us this morning also. Hallelujah. And then you're welcome to stay after the service today, because I believe they have an egg hunt for them out on the lawn, out back. Not because the Easter Bunny delivered them, but because we believe in new life. Amen. Hallelujah. An egg's a symbol of new life. And so we're going to have some fun with the kids. Hallelujah. So they're coming. Hallelujah.